Thank you, Jacques. Thank you, Hilda, for playing, and thank you each one for coming this morning. A slight oversight, I think, there. I didn't see any gift. Jacques said he had a gift for somebody, if they were, or a prize, sorry. It must still be up here. I'm the gift, yeah. And boy, oh boy, are you guys going to be disappointed when you get it out. I appreciate the thought. Luke chapter 5, I invite you to turn there if you would, please. What I would like to do with you this morning, Lord willing, is to look at, turn my mic on, George says. The flashlight went, there we go. The flashlight has signed that I am to be heard, so that's good. This morning, what I'd like to do with you this morning is to look at a couple of events in the life of Peter. You remember the Apostle Peter, who was so predominant, as it were, in the lives of the disciples and in the New Testament during the time and life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then really through the book of Acts and the epistles he wrote. But there are one thread I'd like to follow through the life of Peter, if I could, this morning. And I trust that it will become evident as we look at a fair number of scriptures this morning in our discussion and as we consider this man who is an example for us all. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, we read this, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," that is the Lord Jesus, "to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or a draft or a catch. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of the fishes which they had taken, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." We'll pause in our reading there, and we'll again ask God's blessing upon our consideration of it this morning. Our Father, again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would bow in thy presence and we would ask that we would be those who are not only hearers of the word of God, but that we would be doers, we would be obedient to the things that the Spirit of God would minister to each of our hearts. We thank thee, our Father, as we have been reminded this morning that you know every need. And so, Father, for each one of us, we ask for a fresh appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his word, and of his will for our lives, for saint and sinner alike. For we pray this in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I read these verses at the beginning of our thoughts this morning, not to spend a lot of time concentrating on them, but to get an appreciation of this man, Peter, and an appreciation of what the Lord Jesus had called him to. You will note that in our reading, many things, but one of the things that we see stand out, at least to me, is that there were two ships. One Savior, two ships. And the Lord, knowing everything, knowing the heart of Peter, knowing the heart of men, and knowing exactly which ship was Peter, he chose Peter's ship. And that was the one, because he had a message for Peter, as it were. He had a desire in his heart for Peter. And we can say this morning, based upon the authority of the Word of God, not upon any feeling that I might have or you might have, but the Lord Jesus Christ knows you. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows which boat is yours, so to speak. He knows where you sit in the water. He knows if you stand on the shore. He knows if you're sinking in the sea. All, we might say, metaphorically, but He knows you. He knows that if there's ever been a time in your life when you've received by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, for it is paramount. Although that not being the topic of our meeting this morning, it is paramount in your life if you never receive Jesus Christ by faith. The Lord Jesus Christ would say to you this morning in the Word of God, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. He doesn't say that tomorrow is. He says that now is. So He picked out Peter, and He picked out Peter's boat, and He asked for not a helping hand, as it were, but He said, we're going into one of these boats, so to speak. And He commanded Peter to launch out into the deep. Tremendous amount of thought for the Christian in those four words, is it? Five words. Launch out into the deep. You see, God was not going to force Peter. Excuse me. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is and was God and will ever be God, was not going to force Peter, but He did say unto him, launch out into the deep. Peter had a choice to make. And you have a choice to make. You have a choice in salvation. Many of us, if not the majority of us for sure, have made that choice. We've received by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. And as it were, we've put our feet in the water. But you know, there's more to it than that. The Lord Jesus Christ did not save us to be comfortable. And we will see that in our discussions this morning. Some people will say, come to Christ and everything will be well. All your troubles will pass away. Your financial burdens will be gone. Your family burdens will be over. All of the things. Work, if you don't have work, work will come your way. My friend, the Word of God never says that. It does say that God will bless you. But understand that sometimes our ways are not God's ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We do not know the end from the beginning, but He does. And what He asks of you, and what He asks of me, now I pause for a moment to ask you to consider something. To ask you this morning as we read, as we discuss the Word of God, that you will consider it personally. It's not for the person next to you, although it is. It's not for those who may be in the audience who, you know, you think maybe you're not doing as well spiritually as you. It is for them. But take it personally. The thoughts the Spirit of God would have for each one of us today are to be personal things. Launch out. A decision made to then follow the will of God for our lives as He would want us to discover all the blessings and the joy that is found in serving Christ. You know, those words, launch, I didn't look up what it means, but I think figuratively, at least in my mind, I get that idea of a boat. I watched a gentleman launch his boat off the shore yesterday. Not very often I see that. And you know, as that boat went out into the water, there were just a couple of little glitches in getting the boat going and getting the boat moving and all of those things, minor things that the captain of the boat was able to readily overcome. You know, and sometimes as we seek to launch out, as it were, in our boat, if I can say that, there's little challenges, there's little problems, there's things that come along, there's the trying of your faith. And really, I suppose, if we were to put a verse over what we were going to talk about this morning, that's what it would be, 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the captain of our boat is able to overcome those difficulties. Not always smooth sailing, because there's the trial of your faith. Peter readily obeyed the Lord Jesus. He got in the boat. He went with the Lord Jesus Christ in the boat. and he launched out into the deep. And that word deep is a wonderful thought when you think of it. It talks about, if you were to look it up in the Greek, it talks about mystery or great depth. You talk about the depths of the ocean, and people who study those kinds of things are still plumbing the depths, as it were. They're discovering things and seeing new things. And that is what God has in store for you as a Christian, is new things. But you have to launch out. You have to be prepared to go into the deep water a little bit. You're teaching someone to swim. They start in the shallow water. And they work their way along. But there comes a point where they have to go in the deep end. May I implore each one of us this morning that we would have the faith. Now, remember what Peter wrote, that the trial of your faith. He does not say the trial of your complacency. He does not say the trial of your wants or the trial of what is comfortable. He says the trial of your faith, because we are saved by grace. How? Through faith. And then we are told at least five times in the record of Scripture that the just shall live by faith. And if you were to go to the Word of God and read it from cover to cover, you would continually and again see individuals whose faith was tried, tested, proven. Now realize that God does not tempt anyone with evil, for He cannot tempt someone with evil. But He may try your faith. And maybe you say, well, God knows all about me. God knows you said the end from the beginning. He knows whether I will pass that test or I will fail that test. But you know what I love about the idea of that is that you don't and I don't know if we'll pass. And the only way we learn is by those testings, as it were. And we learn that we have that. We've learned that lesson. We're grounded in that. And the Lord's able to move us on to the next lesson. And we grow in faith and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That was Paul's desire for the church of Colossae. That you might grow, that you might increase in knowledge and in wisdom and in spiritual understanding. Launch out into the deep. Those wonderful things that God has in store for you. Yeah, you may not know them now. And they may be challenging at that time. But it says in the close of the verses we read this morning, and they forsook all. I suppose if we were to do a poll this morning, and we could do a poll, we'll do a poll of our own heart. You cast your own ballot, as it were, and you open it and you look at it, which of us have forsaken all to follow Him? It says of Peter and James and John that they forsook all and followed Him. You would notice what these gentlemen were doing as they were standing on the seashore in verse 2. They're washing their nets. There are people who want to serve God, but as it were, they've never cleaned their net. There's those who want to say, I want to be a fisherman of men. I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their net is dirty. Lives aren't prepared. We're not holy, as it were, sanctified, maybe not saved. Platforms like this in our country are filled with individuals who are reading from the Scriptures and have never had a life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are very, very sincere people, but very, very sincerely wrong. And you and I, we can be very sincere. We cannot serve God in a dirty vessel. Salvation, cleansing as it were from the penalty of sin. There's daily sanctification, that cleansing as it were from the very power of sin. And one day, thanks be unto God, one day salvation and sanctification from the very presence of sin. We don't know what that's like. We can only imagine. We can only long and we can hope for and have confident expectation in the fact that that is what is in store for us. But here we have this individual and individuals, as Simon would respond to the Lord Jesus Christ in telling him to let down his nets for the catch. He would say, Lord, we've toiled all the day or all the night and have taken nothing. We have toiled. And the simple point I want to make of that for us this morning is that we need to toil alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. There's work, yes. It is work. Sometimes we think even our study of the Word of God should be so easy. We should be able to sit down and just read it and things just, you know, roll off the pages. And we listen to people who obviously have a tremendous knowledge of the Word of God and are able to exposit it to us very easily. And it seems to be so, just flows from their mouths. And we say, man, that individual, it seems so easy for them. It's work. Everything that you and I will receive, as it were, from the Word of God, we'll toil for it. And the same thing as we work in our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's pleasant work. It's rewarding work. There's nothing wrong with work. Work with meaning. Work with eternal values. Work with purpose. Peter said, we've toiled all night. The Lord Jesus, you'll notice, had said, let down your nets. Sorry, nets, yes. Same word as Peter uses when he responds in the singular, but the translators chose to put nets there. And one little simple thought we see there is Peter says, yes, I'll let down my net, Lord, but I really don't expect very much. Their net broke. Called alongside his partners, and remember that thought, partners, those who were workers together to help, and their boats were filled so that they began to sink. Bearing in mind those final thoughts as he says that they followed him, they forsook, they laid aside all, they followed him. What it means there is to be in the same way. You think of the verses, is it in Amos, where he says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And how can we walk with the Lord Jesus if we're not in the way with him? You remember Eliezer, as he would be looking for a bride for Isaac, he would say, I being in the way, not stuck in the road, I being right alongside with God, as it were, and having my duties, his will performed, the Lord led me. It means to accompany him. That's what they went with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they followed him. Turn now, if you would, to really the subject matter in the Gospel of Luke chapter 22. Gospel of Luke chapter 22. And I want to read, you're in Luke 22, I want to read a couple of verses, and for the sake of time, I'm not asking you to turn to them, but you'll recognize them immediately, I'm sure. You're in Luke 22, I'm going to read from another gospel where is recorded this, and Jesus saith unto them, that is the disciples, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter saith unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Luke chapter 22 and verse 53. We break right into the middle of an account that is very holy. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, being in agony, sweating as it were great drops of blood. Then there are those, John's gospel would record for us, come with lights or lanterns and torches to take him, the one who is the light of the world, to take him. We read of him in this one and as well as in John's gospel as well, that they led him away. The one who is the chief shepherd, Peter speaks of him, being led away. Verse 53, when I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then they took him and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, and another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him, and so on. Points I want to make for you this morning, I'll begin with the letter A. And simply for my remembrance of that, it allows me to remember it a little more readily in my own mind. And they forsook all and followed him. Totally different account we read here, isn't it? You remember in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" Some say thou art Elias. Some say thou art John the Baptist. "Whom do you say that I am?" Peter stands up, because Peter was often the first and foremost in the front of it all, as it were. He's impetuous. He would jump up and he would have the answer. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Good answer. Accurate. To the point. And the Lord Jesus would say to Peter, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you." It was the Father, it was God who had revealed this to him. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." 3 years approximately had transpired in their association with the Lord Jesus Christ as they would walk the roads, as they would see the dead raised, the blind given sight, the lame walk, and they had followed him. They had gone out with other disciples and they had evangelized, as it were. They had stood, this man and James and John had stood on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, and they had seen the Lord's transfigured before them, and they beheld his what? Glory. They said, "It's good for us to be here." Absolutely. And they'd seen the Lord Jesus, they'd walked with him, they'd accompanied him, they'd been in the way with him. Now, before we're very hard on Peter, and before we would say and well up in the pride of our minds and the arrogance of our hearts and say, "I would never do what Peter did," you just think back over your life a little bit. And please don't ask me to think back over mine, because I don't have to think very far. We would say, "Well, we never sat in such a situation and denied the Lord Jesus Christ." Sometimes just semantics, isn't it? Sometimes our own perception of what we've done. Let's not be too hard on Peter. Rather than being hard on Peter and maybe the disciples, let's look at a lesson for us. Let's look at maybe some of the pitfalls, if we can say, and learn from the lives of others and learn from the Word of God. First of all, we see Peter afar off. They left all, they forsook all and followed him. How close do you suppose Peter and the Lord were? If it were John here, we would say they were very close, because he laid on the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ just hours before, listening to the heartbeat of God. Peter would later record, "He did no sin." Peter was well acquainted with the Lord Jesus. It was to Peter that the Lord had said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Not on Peter, but upon him. They were intimates. It was Peter that the Lord took to the Mount of Transfiguration, one of the three. It was Peter that accompanied him a little farther into the garden. Peter followed. I believe Peter's heart beat for God And he had a great love for the Lord Jesus Christ, following very closely. All of a sudden, circumstances, as it were, designed by God, come into the life of Peter, as the Lord Jesus Christ would be the one who was being taken to become sin for man. There would be a physical, as it were, assault placed upon his life. There would be those there with torches and lanterns, and I'm sure weapons and those things to come and to take the Lord Jesus away. At one point, Peter took a sword and he cut off the right ear, was it, of Malchus, the high priest's servant. The Lord said, put up your sword, Peter. What happened? They all, we read it, forsook him and fled. We would read other places in the Gospels that John was also accompanying Peter following the Lord. John accompanied the Lord into the, being known to the high priest, into the area where he was being detained, or so they thought they were detaining him, where he willingly went. But Peter followed afar off. Back, as it were. We might say, challenge number one for Peter, following afar off. He was, rather than following closely, he was back. Notice where his following afar off led him to. It says, when they kindled a fire. I want to pause for a moment on that thought. Who do you suppose kindled the fire? If we were to define whose fire it was it God's fire? Was it the Lord's fire? I guess for my own sake of memory, I say it was the world's fire. Those who were involved in the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who were involved maybe in being on standby for whatever was going to take place in the trial, maybe those who were quite happily and willingly standing there mocking the Lord Jesus Christ, because it would be those who would stand at the cross and they would say, he saved others, let him save himself. Do you suppose he was popular in the sense of being well known? Absolutely. It says, and they kindled a fire, the world's fire. They wanted to warm themselves, because I'll tell you right now, Christian and non-Christian alike, there is no warmth in the world. They have to kindle some sort of fire. It's a cold place. And if you are a Christian not living for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know all too well how cold the world is and how little it has to offer. And when you warm up by, or you seek to warm up by the world's fire, there's no warmth, there's no satisfaction, there's pleasure for a season. Because the Bible says clearly there's pleasure in sin for a season. Only for a season. But there's circumstances for sin. They kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, in the center point of that open yard area where the Lord Jesus Christ was taken through to be tried, as it were, to meet with the officials. They kindled a fire. And I suppose a fire would be for light, it would be for heat, it would be for warmth, all of those things that they had a desire for. They had it right in the middle. It's easy to see, readily accessible. Peter had followed afar off and no doubt would have watched them kindle a fire. Notice where Peter comes to now. It says that, and we're set down together. Here's the world sitting down together. Do you remember at the cross, a few short hours past the moment we're considering, the Spirit of God records for us in very clear language, and when they were come to Calvary, there they crucified him, and a few short verses later it says, and sitting down, they watched him there. These people were not displaying pleasantries to our Savior. We read one verse in verse 63 of how they would soon treat him. They sat down in the midst of that great hall by the world's fire, And when all of this transpired, we read, Peter sat down among them. He followed. He left all to follow the Lord Jesus. He followed then as it were afar off, and now all of a sudden he's among them. And as we will gather, and as we have gathered from our reading, he wanted to be unnoticed among them. I can't help but think that he was extremely uncomfortable among them. And I can't help but hope if there's someone here who's in Christ, who's saved by faith, and they're living, as it were, a lie, and they're living among the world, and their associations are chiefly and predominantly with the world, and they're sitting down among them, that they are extremely uncomfortable among them. May it be so in your life and in mine, should we ever find ourselves in that place. But here's Peter among them. You see the coolness? You see how quickly we can move away from following, forsaking all and following him. All of a sudden, here's Peter moving back, as it were. Now he's afar off. Now he's among the rest. Maybe with the best of intentions and watching what's going to transpire with the Lord Jesus. But he's among them. He is accompanying them now. Remember, we said to follow him meant to accompany him. Among them means to be between, in the midst. The world's fire. Now, I want to take a verse, if you'll forgive me for this. Probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to take a verse totally out of context, but I want you to catch the flavor of what I'm trying to say here. James 5 and 17, talking about the tongue, the little member of your body, and how much trouble it can cause. In one phrase of a verse, there would say, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Speaking of the tongue. If we apply those words to our thoughts here this morning, behold how great a matter a little fire of the world in our lives kindles. Because sometimes we'll say, it's only a little thing. There's nothing wrong with it. What's right with it would be a better question. Everybody else is doing it. Sadly, I listened to the testimony of an individual one time who said, well, so-and-so lived their life like that for so many years, and look at them now. They were doing great spiritually. That individual took it as bias or license, I guess, that they could do the same. Oh, be careful, Christian. Be careful, person who is not in Christ here, the person who says, well, I can do as I want, and at the very last moment, I know how to be saved, and I'll accept and receive Jesus Christ on my deathbed. There are those who would do that. Thank God for a gracious God who will allow people to be saved at their very deathbed. Elderly men and women who have lived a life apart from God, but now is the day of salvation. They took a great risk. Their eternal soul is at stake. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Peter's afar off. He's now sitting down among them at the fire. He is now, as it were, in the midst. Sitting down there means to remain or to reside. He wasn't with the intent of just pausing for a moment, as it were. It was sitting down, becoming comfortable as one could be in that situation to see what would take place. It also means the sitting down to be in company with. Far off. Among. John chapter 18 and verse 18, if we were to read there, we would find that it says that he first, before he sat down among them, they were standing there. Notice the progression. Afar off, standing, sitting, and among. Oh, we need to be so careful, Christians, how we live our lives, what we do, what we say, what we watch, where we go. Interesting, in the account we have before us this morning, that there was a certain maid who seen him there. And then there was a man who seen him there. Then does it say there was another man who seen him there? And I think of the testimony of this young lady, as she would say, you were with him. Some would say, your speech betrays you. You're a Galilean. We know you're from the same area. And Peter would lie. Think of what the Bible says. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And here's Peter, dear to the Lord Jesus, following, forsaking and following, knowing and loving, afar off, standing, sitting. What's he doing now? Before God and before men, saying, I don't even know him. And in his heart, loving him. Woman, I know him not. Man, I know him not. The testimony of this maid being accurate. I thought of the young maid who was taken by the Syrians. In 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 2, she was serving in the house of one Naaman. It says that Naaman was a great man. He was a great leader for his king. But he was a leper. Sinner. Tarnished by sin, just like everyone born after Adam. And this young maid in this home, rather than disdaining those she was serving, rather than denying her God, rather than being as one who would say, when in Rome or when in Syria, do as the Syrians do, she would say, oh, would to God that my master Naaman were with the prophet that's in Israel. She would be testifying of God. And she would be speaking well of God. That's what it means to bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Speak well of him. And she spoke well of the prophet, Elijah. Elisha. And of Elisha's God. Both testimonies of young people being accurate, being truthful, being forthwith. What are ours like? We have a whole host of young people predominantly sitting right here. But let's not exclude ourselves to the young people, the certain young maids and the certain young men. Let's all be included. What is our testimony like? You see, our lives will influence people. Well, we see that in Peter. His testimony and his character and his disobedience, if I can say that, influence the lives of others. Does each one of us have that ability? No, never, absolutely not do I know this man. He's now denying the Lord Jesus. Try and picture, if you can, for a moment, the scene unfolding. As Peter is yet speaking these words, the rooster crows. Peter remembered. You know, memory is a wonderful thing. But it can be an awful, awful testimony to ourselves of sometimes our own failure. Peter remembered. What happened before Peter, or before it's recorded that Peter remembered, we read these words, and the Lord turned and looked on Peter. Peter remembered. You remember what the Lord said would happen. Not me, Lord. Though all deny you, I'll never do it. I'll go on to death. I'll never deny you. Short time later, Peter has been afar off. He's been among them. He has denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we could say Peter, as he went out, it says that word would mean to escape or to come forth. He went out now from among them. And what was now the exercise of his heart? It says that he wept bitterly. And I can only think and imagine, and I think the Word of God bears testimony to it to a degree, that now Peter was away from the Lord and he was discouraged. I would be. Almost destroyed, I'm sure. What good can Peter be now? What possible ministry and service could a Christian who has failed now and denied the Lord or been maybe not even going so far sometimes, one who has sought to follow, but one who has now been afar off, one who has been among the world, and one who is now away from the Lord and discouraged, what can go on now? Well, our time is gone. I leave you with just a couple of thoughts with regards to Peter's being away. Because after the resurrection, the Lord specifically told the ladies as they came to that tomb. Remember, we read the words where it says, "You'll see me again in Galilee." Now Peter, who is away and discouraged, those ladies are told to go and tell the disciples and tell Peter. You see the heart of God? You see the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ? For the sinner, we see it regarding salvation, God so loved the world. And for the saint, who is discouraged in a way, go and tell Peter. And as we would walk that road to Emmaus, alongside those two disciples on their way home, and the Lord drew near, and he opened unto them the scriptures, beginning at Moses and the prophets, and expounded unto them all the things concerning himself. And when they went with joy back to Jerusalem to tell the others, what does it say? It says, the Lord is risen, and he's appeared to Peter. Oh, the heart of God. You know, we sometimes sing that song, "Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see." We apply that oftentimes to the gospel, and rightfully so. But may we apply it to our own hearts this morning. If you're discouraged, there was more I wanted to say on that. We could go back to Elijah. And maybe we will another time. The Lord is such a gracious God. Do not forget that he is grace. And if you're going on for the Lord and you say, well, these things really don't apply to me today, I can remember when, or I can be cautious of, you thank God. And you watch out for the devil, and you just as someone has coined the phrase, I'd love to know who coined it, keep on keeping on. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Young people, you spent a summer at camp, many of you, and it's easy to be a Christian at camp. devil, if you're living for him, has you in his sights, as every one of us. Hope it wasn't too much of a downer. It wasn't meant to be. The uplifting part was coming on. Maybe we should just stay for the next hour, and I'll finish that up. Any objections? No, nobody raised a hand. You're good anyway. We'll not do that. Be encouraged. Be aware. Be faithful. That's what God asks us to be. Faithful and obedient. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for your tremendous gift to us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, we would pray for those who would be hearers of the word here this morning, who are not able to go back and to focus on a time in their lives when they receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. May they be convicted by the verses that have been read in the Spirit of God this morning to do this. If they have questions around that, may they seek out who they came with, or someone here they know, or someone they don't even know. And may they have salvation today. And to our Father, we pray for those of us in Christ, that we would forsake all and follow him, and that we would be faithful in our service and in our following. And Father, for those times of failure, may we be cognizant of the verse where Paul would say, forgetting those things which are behind, and moving forward. We thank thee, our Father, for this great hope we have in one day seeing the Lord Jesus and being removed from this scene of sin. May, Father, everyone in this room have that reality in their hearts, we pray. Part each one of thy blessing, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.